Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We are playoff observers right now. A little bit of a down morning, isn't it? The Monday morning following the NFC Championship game when your team isn't in there. I mean, last Monday morning was pretty depressing too, after the day after you've been eliminated from the playoffs. But does it feel any better to know that the team that eliminated you is going to play in the Super Bowl? I think that's a question a lot of Packer fans are asking themselves today as they see the San Francisco 49ers play in the playoffs or play in the Super Bowl. Of course, I can't go any further without mentioning the Harbowl, right? The Harbaugh Bowl. This is Super Bowl will be a matchup of San Francisco 49ers head coach Jim Harbaugh and Baltimore Ravens head coach John Harbaugh. So kind of interesting. I think everybody's going to get sick of that storyline real quick just because it's going to be beaten to death the next 2 weeks or so. But it is a good story, no doubt about it. I mean, these two young, relatively young head coaches in terms of NFL years, but I mean ages beside the point. But they're, you know, got to the peak, and they'll face each other in the Super Bowl, and it's a good thing for the sport. Even though we are going to get sick of it, I guarantee you're just going to hear so much about the Harbaugh brothers in the next 2 weeks. You're going to be sick of it. But yeah, the team that eliminated the Packers, the San Francisco 49ers, taking care of business, coming back from a huge deficit in the NFC Championship game, winning on the road at Atlanta to qualify for the Super Bowl, down 17-0, and they come back. Well, early on, I was like, holy cow, we're going to see the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl here. But the 49ers just keep plugging away. You know, made it competitive in the first half. Even, you know, they cut into the deficit after going down 17-0. But it was really in the second half when they put things away and made the comeback. And, you know, a lot of it, most of the damage coming on the ground for the 49ers. And interestingly, not a lot of it being done with Colin Kaepernick on the ground as he did to the Packers. Now, the divisional round, Colin Kaepernick set a all-time NFL record for rushing yards by a quarterback with 181. And yesterday, hardly did any damage on the ground, maybe a little, but yeah, it was Frank Gore and LaMichael James doing the job there for San Francisco, but it worked. But Colin Kaepernick, he was effective through the air, you know, not like this huge day putting up over 300 yards and three touchdowns or anything, but was solid, effective, you know, especially got Vernon Davis involved in the game. And, yeah, so the 49ers qualifying for the Super Bowl, the team that eliminated the Packers. Over on the other side, the Baltimore Ravens taking care of business, going on the road, beating, you know, Bill Belichick's squad in the AFC Championship game. They're at New England, at Gillette Stadium. And, the story over there is the job the Ravens defense did. Very good team defense over there. You know, a lot of attention is on Ray Lewis, even though at this point in his career, he's probably on the downside of his career. But still, the emotional leader of that defense, no doubt about it. Terrell Suggs, a kind of a veteran presence there as well. and the job they did in shutting down Tom Brady. Wow, impressive there. I mean, it, you know, especially to do it that environment on the road in the AFC Championship game. Good job there. And it's Joe Flacco, you know, outperforming Tom Brady, the Ravens quarterback, getting the job done, doing a good job through the air over there. You know, kind of a guy who, you know, maybe has done a good job in the NFL, but not a great job. But this certainly helps his cause, and maybe Joe Flacco is a guy that is developing. And, you know, I think Joe Flacco knows what he is. You know, he's not a guy that is going to try to do too much. He knows what he... Yeah, I mean, maybe the story would be different if they didn't have a good defense in Baltimore. Although, you know, you can make the argument that Baltimore's defense really wasn't all that great this year. But still, you know, a good team effort at least. And getting the job done. And perhaps you can make the argument that Flacco wouldn't be as good as he was if he wasn't, you know, didn't have a good ground game surrounding him. And that's kind of been the case for a couple of years with Ray Rice and now Bernard Pierce there for the Ravens. Kevin Lamb on the live blog says, Joe Flacco made himself some money yesterday. He did. I mean, congratulations to him for qualifying for the Super Bowl. So it'll be a fun one to watch with the Harbaugh brothers and all these young quarterbacks, Flacco, Kaepernick playing in, you know, solid defenses. You know, tough teams that have the image of, you know, good defenses, things like that. The 49ers, of course, have the outstanding offensive line. After I told you on this show before the divisional game that I wasn't all impressed with the 49ers offensive line, I was wrong about that. Yeah, they're pretty good. Speaking of 49ers offensive linemen, the trying to transition to some Packers talk here, seeing as, you know, this past weekend was all about, you know, other teams in the NFL playoffs, Packers being playoff observers. But speaking of the 49ers offensive line, because the 49ers had qualified for the Super Bowl, they are no longer, no 49ers will be playing in the Pro Bowl. And that means one member of the Packers got his ticket punched to Hawaii, and that would be offensive lineman Josh Sitton, who will be replacing 49ers guard Mike Iupati in the Pro Bowl. So congratulations to Josh Sitton, very deserving. And yeah, that's great. I mean, I think Josh Sitton has been good Pro Bowl caliber for several years now. Not to say that the other guards who were voted in ahead of him aren't, but I think Josh Sitton is really, seriously, one of the best Packers on the team's roster, and very deserving. And perhaps a little bit later here, we can talk about, you know, Josh Sitton's performance and postseason grades and things like that, which I think is an interesting discussion. And, you know, I probably since the last time we talked on the show on Friday morning, I can't remember when exactly happened. I think it was Friday afternoon, Friday evening. We learned that Clay Matthews is pulling out of the Pro Bowl. And, of course, we knew before that Aaron Rodgers had pulled out of the Pro Bowl. So Rodgers and Matthews, the Packers' best two players, won't be in Hawaii, both because of injuries and certainly understandable that they don't want to risk injury in an exhibition game, even though their injuries are rather minor, kind of, I would say. But anyhow, yeah, so Josh Sitton playing now. He'll join Jeff Saturday, the one Pro Bowler who probably from the Packers that didn't deserve to be there. But Josh Sitton, Jeff Saturday, still a good guy. So Packers will have a guard in the center there. And of course, the whole Packers coaching staff will be getting things done there. The coaching staff for the NFC for the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. I think I had read somewhere that coaching staffs have to be out there by today, like Monday. So, but regardless, they probably have a couple days of practice this week later on in preparation for next Sunday's Pro Bowl. Not like it's a whole big deal, but anyway, good honor for a guy like Josh Sitton to finally go out there and be recognized for the job he did. And you know, speaking of deserving to be recognized, you know, a lot of people put out their postseason grades this week. Of course, Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette, both publishing theirs, I believe, for their Sunday newspapers there at their respective publications. And I did the previous week at Cheesehead TV, putting out postseason grades. And it's always an interesting exercise doing that. And you know, what type of grades do you give, et cetera, et cetera. And just, you know, just as a jumping off point here, and I'll get into a couple other players later, but I had given Josh Sitton, I can't even remember, it was in the A level, either an A or an A minus, and definitely a deserving player of that great grade, I think. I think you saw in the NFC divisional round game there, the loss to the 49ers, you remember Josh Sitton coming off the field for, I think it was only two plays, but something went wrong with his shoe. You could see him on the sideline scrambling. People were trying to help him. And Jeff Saturday had come in the game. It was interesting, actually, because Saturday played one play at guard, and then him and Evan Dietrich switched, and then, you know, from center to guard. And it was kind of funny how that all happened. But I think you saw in both plays the 49ers get some penetration, and you saw just how valuable Josh Sitton is. I mean, I seriously, it sounds like I'm going on a limb, but I don't think I am. I'm not sure the Packers would be even a playoff team without Josh Sitton. You know, it's kind of weird because, I mean, if you go into the season that way, of course, you dress the position. But, I mean, by chance, had Josh Sitton ever, like, suffered a season-ending injury during the middle of the season, that would have been disaster for the Packers. Absolute disaster. You know, he's so good in both the run and the pass game. I think I'd, you know, just seen, you know, as I'm reading social media, things come across my Twitter timeline. I think I saw this week that Josh Sitton was one of the top five guards in the NFL in pass protection. Of course, he's one of the few guys on the team that get a lot of push in the run game, although they're getting better in that regard in Green Bay. And how about Josh Sitton's durability? He has not missed a game in, like, years. I just know, like, this year, I think I had read somewhere that when he sat out those two plays in the divisional game, that was the first time he missed a snap all season long. So he misses two plays because of some little, you know, equipment malfunction or whatever. And that's it, you know, hasn't missed because of injury. Even during garbage time late in the games, they don't take him out. You know, kudos to Josh Sitton for being such a great, durable player like that. Very deserving. And you know, a great member of the Packers' offensive line. Now, Jamie points out on the live blog, Sitton played every offensive snap in the regular season. Amazing when that happens. And I think I had heard somewhere that safety Morgan Burnett played every snap on defense of the regular season, like the only player, I think. I think Bob McGinn pointed that out. And so that's really good, too. And Jamie points out on the live blog, so did Marshall Newhouse. There you go. A great job by these guys. You know, that's even though there is certainly... these guys are not above analysis or above criticism. That is something that they can be applauded for, their durability and you know, not having to be replaced in the lineup or anything like that. And that's tough. It definitely takes a toll on somebody's body when they're not coming out of a game ever. But, you know, talking about postseason grades here, you know, of course, Bob McGinn, the respected scribe for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you know, Hall of Fame journalist here. calling the Packers in is kind of season in review article, kind of analyzing where the team is at, where it's headed. Well, maybe not where it's headed, but perhaps maybe suggesting where it should go. But, you know, calling the team soft, not physical, not more of a finesse team, more of a calculating team. And of course, that you know, when a guy like Bob McGinn says that, people take notice, you know, when you're calling them a little bit of a soft team. And then you kind of compare that to the two teams that are in the Super Bowl being two of the more physical teams in the NFL, you know, being known as these tough defensive teams, at least having that image. And, you know, I think it is somewhat of a fair criticism that the Packers played somewhat soft, finesse, you know, not really taking it to teams. You saw them get exposed to particularly on defense in the playoffs by Colin Kaepernick, not having perhaps the type of athletes they need and playing the brand of smash-mouth football that they need to in order to get back to a Super Bowl level that they were at two seasons prior. You know, Packers making early exits from the playoffs the last 2 years. Another thing that Bob McGinn wrote that kind of got a little bit of a negative attention was his analysis or his opinion that perhaps the Green Bay fan base has been a little bit spoiled and expecting the Packers to win, and Lambeau Field not becoming exactly a place that's known as a hostile environment. Saying that, you know, when was the last time you heard an opposing player ever say how loud it was at Lambeau Field? And maybe fans are becoming a little perhaps jaded or, you know, taking things for granted. And of course, that was met with skepticism as well. I think I saw our own Zach Cruz put on Twitter how he mentioned whatever the fan base does or doesn't do is has no bearing or impact whatsoever on how the Packers perform on the field, and that's certainly true. It's kind of almost in a way seen as making excuses for the Packers. Certainly a loud environment can be beneficial to a team, but shouldn't the Packers be able to win a game when it's, you know, even if a stadium is 100% silent, you know? There's that aspect, that end of it too. So Jamie says on the live blog, I agree with Zach, but when you don't have a dome, it's on the fans to be loud as well. Yeah, I mean, there's both ends. You can see why Bob McGinn would say that, but it is on the players too. It is on the players too, and of course the coaches in the front office who provide the players and coach the players. And now we kind of turn to the, you know, of course, the offseason, free agency, the draft, how are you going to, you know, fill some of these holes, or how are you going to make this team better? And of course, that'll be the focus of the next few months in the lead up to free agency and the draft. As for the team at hand, one of the grades I gave out at Cheesehead TV that people disagreed with the most in terms of comments received on the blog posts I made was the grade I gave to cornerback Tremont Williams. I gave him a B because I thought for the most part he was, and believe me, I acknowledge how bad the performance in the regular season finale against the Vikings is. It was a epic disaster from Tremont Williams in many regards. But I did think, beside that game, he did rather well, and I gave him a B for the season. And that probably generated perhaps some of the most discussion in the comments, the performance of Tremont Williams. because I thought he was rather a shutdown cornerback. I thought the job he did against some of the NFL's best receivers, like Megatron at Detroit, Larry Fitzgerald of the Cardinals, even Brandon Marshall of the Bears, I thought was particularly fantastic. But of course, you know, he didn't have the big plays this year. Tremont Williams didn't. He had two interceptions, both coming in the same game and both coming in early in the year. So, you know, you tend to kind of forget almost, or, you know, something like that goes on the back burner. But it's true, he didn't come up with a whole lot of turnovers, things like that. You know, a lot of people are going to point to his lack of tackling acumen as being a weak point for Tremont Williams. I thought the job he did in coverage overcame a lot of that. I graded him lower than both Casey Hayward and Sam Shields. I think it would be a mistake not to give him a grade lower than them. But, you know, giving Tremont a B, and you know what, after reading all the comments, et cetera, I perhaps would give him a little bit lower grade. I you know, in hindsight, maybe a B minus is more apt. But I still don't believe, as, you know, some people make it out to be, and some are certainly exaggerations and hyperbole, that, you know, he had a worse season than what he did. And I don't think he played at a C level or lower than that. I think that would be overreaction. But it's definitely interesting how the Packers cornerback situation will shape up next year, as it is one of the, you know, most deepest positions on the team, we'll say. You know, they did a very good job in the secondary. Jamie here pointing out my grades for the cornerbacks. I gave Casey Hayward an A. And again, I can only go upon what he played. I certainly aware that he was kind of a almost part-time player on the Packers defense, as they didn't play him a whole lot in the base defense, particularly late in the year. Sam Shields, I gave an A minus. You know, I thought these guys did fantastic job, you know, as coverage guys, and perhaps maybe the Packers defensive, you know, performance overall would suggest that they have this many A players in the secondary. But I thought they did a good job, and maybe they need to come up with a little more turnovers, maybe give up a few less points. But I thought they did good. You know, Jarrett Bush's B minus comes almost strictly as a special teams player. So, I mean, that's where that comes from. You know, I'm not really taking defense into account a whole lot there. And Devon House with the C plus, Devon House not getting a whole lot of playing time. But yeah, interesting to see what the Packers do in the secondary next year, who lines up where and how much, things like that, who mans those perimeter corner spots, who plays the slot. I mean, it's a given that Casey Hayward will play the slot. So, you know, that's what we're looking at. So, there you go. I think that's definitely one of the things to look at in the offseason. I'm even kind of, in my mind, toying with this post trying to make at Cheesehead TV, talking about how the Packers will line up their secondary in 2012, or in 2013, how it'll shape up, who will be out there, how will they play, what positions, things like that. Because this is a critical offseason to the Packers in terms of, you know, how they plug some holes. I mean, every team's NFL offseason is critical. You know, I think the Packers in particular, it's going to be so much attention on how they fill the holes of the players that will be gone off this year's team. And I can see the attention turning on the live blog here already about Greg Jennings and free agency, and will he or won't he leave. And you know, something that I haven't really, that's gone through my mind lately that I haven't examined yet in depth, is the franchise tag in Greg Jennings. And saying that's just gone through my mind, and again, I might poke holes in it later, but I'm just wondering to myself, you know, might Greg Jennings be worth the franchise tag just to keep him around for one more year? You know, I think it could be a case where maybe he is worth keeping around for one year at approximately $10 million rather than give him a long-term contract and having to pay, you know, millions of dollars for the next 2, 3, 4 years down the road when his skills might decline, you know, something like that. But I still think he's got a couple years left in him yet. He's still, I mean, the injury concerns do come as a concern because he's been hurt so much the past 2 years. But, I mean, the Packers, I'm not sure, want to lose so much talent. And I say that partially because I do think the Packers should part ways with JerMichael Finley. You know, that's my opinion. I know certainly people have other opinions, too. And they think Finley should stick around because, you know, first of all, he is under contract to begin with. And you know, he'll be in a contract year next year, and he'll be hungry to once again prove he deserves a contract. But I think the Packers would be in their best interest of parting ways with a guy like JerMichael Finley, and instead keeping Greg Jennings at least for one season. Kevin Lamb brings up a good question here on the live blog. If you franchise Greg Jennings, does he become a locker room problem? Yeah, I mean, there's certainly that to consider as well. I mean, Greg Jennings has said it. He doesn't want to play under the franchise tag. No, nobody does. You know, they don't want to have a one-year contract. And that's understandable. I can see that. So, I mean, first of all, it's, you know, it's happened to other players before, and they don't have to accept it. They could sit out, and people have. Would Greg Jennings do that or not? I don't know. But, I mean, if you do that, though, you are retaining his rights. So it could be a situation where there is a perhaps even a tag and trade. It's happened before. I don't think teams, you know, you've seen that less and less, though, in the NFL. And the NFL doesn't want that to happen either. And I think there's kind of this thing from the NFL saying, we don't want this to happen, so it hasn't. Because, I think teams, too, they don't want to both give up draft picks and, you know, pay a high salary to somebody else. So, that you know, that's kind of a little bit maybe thrown out the window. But yeah, I mean, certainly you risk a guy being a malcontent like Greg Jennings. Not to say he would, and not to say there's any indication that he would be a malcontent. But, you know, I don't know. I just think it maybe the Packers should think about that, and maybe I got to think about it a little more. And seeing as if that might be something that would be worth it. And maybe it's not worth it for the potential distraction that could cause. You know, because the Packers, too, if they just let Greg Jennings walk in free agency, they can receive that compensation as part of the compensatory pick formula. Of course, we've all seen it in the past when the Packers lost, you know, Cullen Jenkins last year. They kind of got a pick in this past year's draft, or, you know, they lost him 2 years ago, whatever. This past year, the Packers lost Matt Flynn and Scott Wells, and they stand for this year's draft to get some draft picks. So we'll see how all that plays out. But, you know, again, all things to factor in here as we make our way through the offseason and have to make these big decisions here. But it's 9:00. That does it here on Railbird Central, folks. Thanks for joining us so much on a Monday morning here as we find out the teams that are playing in the Super Bowl. And we'll be going all week long here with more Super Bowl analysis and what the Packers will do in the offseason. So we'll be back again on Wednesday, so join us then. I'm Brian Caravu. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, thanks for joining us. On behalf of Jamie Jors, thanks for joining us. Make sure to check out your Packers coverage all week long at Cheesehead TV. We'll have lots of posts up for you. So we'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. I leave you today with a song from String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records, a song called Rosie. See you later, everyone.